Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty.
Bob, you'll get a real sense of the hatred that makes football so great.
I've got the fever, gambling fever.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And we're off FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty with you on this Monday. Also joined in studio by the intern, Juwan Davis, joining us here on Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. And a great weekend of sports to talk about here on this Monday night. What are we, 66, 65 days
from
the start of college football? So it'll be here before you know it. Really, the best way to look at it is just 2 months, exactly 2 months, and we'll be watching college football and talking a whole lot about college football then, of course. But today we have got to get to NBA free agency because that was the big news since it opened yesterday at 4 p.m. And Corey, Juwan, the big winners, I think most people would say the big winners yesterday, the Brooklyn Nets, they were the absolute story of day one of free agency. And not just any free agency, but this is the most ridiculous buying frenzy I've ever seen on the markets of any sports, whether it's NBA, NFL, MLB. I mean, we've seen big money spent in Major League Baseball. And we've seen some quarterbacks and some tackles and some rushers get some big money in NFL. But the number of high-profile guys that have been making their way around the league to different teams, we're looking at a completely different level of power. It's been spread out among the NBA now. We've had only the Golden State Warriors for the last 3 or 4 years, and then whatever team LeBron James is on is able to compete with those Warriors. And then Kawhi Leonard came through with his Toronto Raptors. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson go down, and now we enter free agency. And the apples have been upset from all the carts, Corey.
Dalton, you have to love it. I mean, you look at Kevin Durant deciding to go to Brooklyn. Not New York, but Brooklyn. And to me, that was just speaks volumes on where his mindset was in regards to just turning around a franchise that really hasn't been to the NBA Finals since a Jason Kidd-led New Jersey Nets team took them there. You're looking at Durant signing a 4-year contract, $164 million. Then you turn around and he has a new point guard, Kyrie Irving, turns around and signs $141 million deal. So, you know, they broke the bank to get both those players. But that's okay, too, because you see the shift with the Nets making the playoffs this past year. Mm-hmm. It's just going to add. And you have to understand that KD is coming off a serious injury.
Very serious.
So you know you probably won't even see him at all this season.
Right.
So that's what people really fail to realize. But the fact that he's changing from West Coast to East Coast is news in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a really big deal that you've got one of your most people would for sure say that Kevin Durant is a top three NBA player. It's between him, LeBron, and Kawhi Leonard for most people. But then again, you have Kawhi Leonard also making his decision in free agency. But I do want to focus on the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving for a little bit, because for the longest time, we knew that Kevin Durant would be entering free agency. We didn't know if he would re-sign with a max contract with the Golden State Warriors. Knew that they probably wouldn't have that kind of money to keep throwing at him and also keep Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green together. But if it came down to keeping any of those four, you would think they would stick with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant if they just got to pick any of them. But it looks like the big three will stay in Golden State. But Kevin Durant, the word with him now for at least 2 years has been, okay, he's going to take a real serious look at the New York Knicks. And then as we get closer and closer to the to this free agency, which began yesterday, we start looking at Kyrie Irving and his 1 year with the Celtics. For a while there, it looked like he might re-sign with Boston, but at the end it became pretty clear that he's not happy in Boston either. Kyrie's not happy wherever he is, it seems like. But we still thought maybe Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving would meet together in Boston. That went away pretty quickly. Then maybe they would get together with the New York Knicks. And then words start coming out. Kyrie Irving is headed to the Brooklyn Nets. He's from New Jersey originally before he went to play his college ball at Duke. And it seems like something about the Brooklyn Nets drew Kyrie Irving there. And Kevin Durant, he now has decided he wants to play with Brooklyn. So yesterday when free agency opened up, you had Kyrie, the first off the board, 4 years, $141 million. Mm. And then you had Durant, which I think he was planning on making the announcement on his own site last night. He got scooped by Wojnarowski and quite a few other people way before that. But you had Kevin Durant, the big news yesterday, signing with the Brooklyn Nets. I saw that four-year $164 million. I've also seen that it's actually a four-year $161 million deal. So Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both took less money. They both could have gotten max contracts, but both took less money so they could get Kevin Durant's best buddy and that longtime L.A. Clipper, DeAndre Jordan, onto the team with them. So DeAndre Jordan signs a four-year $40 million deal. And the question now is, why did Kyrie and KD decide on Brooklyn over all of these other teams that they could have joined?
I think a lot of it has to do with the management team that's involved with both of them. And when you're looking at that situation, you have an opportunity through XL Sports, and DeAndre Jordan definitely decided through XL Sports that he wanted to join KD and Kyrie. It's a situation to where I think that franchise, they can turn it around in regards to bringing it something it's never really had, which is a world championship. Again, you see the New Jersey Nets, you think back, you flash back to the 70s and Dr. J playing for the Nets, and then again, you think about the Jason Kidd Nets, but you don't think of the Brooklyn Nets as a basketball mecca. Mm-hmm. You think New York Knicks basketball in that situation. I think they decided to go because they're having an opportunity to do something that has not been done before, similar to what was done in Toronto with Kawhi.
Mm-hmm. Part of it, I think, you know, both of these guys have been considered weird. Like, when you talk about NBA superstars, the talk around Kevin Durant has been, oh, he's thin-skinned. You know, he was and has been one of the best players in the NBA for years. It's just been him and LeBron at the very top of the heap for a long time now, until Kawhi Leonard really kind of staked his place in there with his last championship this season. But with Kevin Durant, remember, he left Oklahoma City, and he was on good standing with just about everybody. Everybody kind of looked at him as the, and as much as I love LeBron, there is a lot of anti-LeBron sentiment out there.
Sure.
And a lot of people wanted Kevin Durant to be the superhero to their LeBron James evil mercenary. A lot of people want to see LeBron James lose, so the obvious correlation there would be to root for Kevin Durant, the other name that's mentioned alongside him. But when Kevin Durant decided to pack his bags up from Oklahoma City and go sign with the super team, the Golden State Warriors, and they became possibly the best NBA team that's ever taken the court with those five starters, well, it turned on him. And I don't think he thought that it would turn that way. Everybody said that he had become a bandwagon guy, that he was just joining a team that was going to get rings anyway, so why not? And even after the fact, when he wins two NBA Finals MVPs and leads them to two more championships, and then when he's injured this season and they can't get it done without him, still, this has been Steph Curry's team, and Kevin Durant has not been able to take that from Steph Curry. I think he just wants to get that recognition. So to me, him signing with the Brooklyn Nets is Kevin Durant saying, listen, I've tried to be happy by winning and by making all of you happy. Now I'm going to do what it takes to make Kevin Durant happy. And what I want to do is go play some basketball with my friends. And another huge part of that, his doctor that did the Achilles surgery just happens to also be the Brooklyn team doctor. So I'm sure that might have played a minor role in his decision. But I think this is all about fun. I think Kevin Durant's gone out there and won the championships that he wants to win. I'm sure he wants to add a few more rings to his fingers. And he might be able to get that done in Brooklyn. But I think this is all about fun. This is about him teaming up with Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, getting this full year of rehab out of the way, and then maybe bringing a team up that has never won a national championship before.
I agree with that, Dalton, but I'm looking at a situation now where the Golden State Warriors have decided to retire Kevin Durant's jersey.
What's up with that?
I know he brought them a couple of world championships, might have been a three-peat if he does not rupture that Achilles, and really should have been a three-peat. And I think they're just really trying to save face, because I think behind the scenes, I know Iguodala wrote a book about some things that have been going on within the Golden State Warriors organization. And that just behind the scenes glimpse about, you know, at times what you saw on the court with whether it was Draymond Green or DeMarcus Cousins or whomever it was arguing with one another, also argued with management. And that's a situation where I think they're just Golden State Warriors now are doing damage control, saying, hey, thank you, KD. We appreciate it. They could have taken an ad out in the paper if they really wanted to say thank you. But retiring his 35 jersey, I think it's taking it to an extreme.
Yeah, that might be a bridge too far for me. And also the rumors out there that I guess – some are saying Kevin Durant was not given all of the knowledge before returning to the NBA Finals, that the team doctors and coaches may have been keeping from him how his already serious injury could have turned into more problems, which it did. The same game that he came back and was playing so well in and ends up tearing his Achilles after suffering that calf injury weeks before time. I thought that Kevin Durant went back out there on the court knowing full well that he could suffer a very worse injury while other muscles try to kind of compensate for that calf muscle injury that he was over. But word out there is that the trainers and coaches kind of just shoved him on out the nest and said, hey, go win that championship for us. And maybe Kevin Durant wasn't too happy about that. When we get back, we'll break down the Golden State Warriors because they are a team that looks – they're going to look 100% different, especially while Klay Thompson continues to recover from his injury. Also, we got to talk about Kawhi Leonard, the number one player in the game and the number one available free agent, looking like he might head to L.A., either with the Lakers or the Clippers, and less of a chance that he returns to his Toronto Raptors. But also some sad news today with the word out that Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs passed away. They found him dead in his hotel room in Texas, age of 27. He was found dead. They say that it's not suspected that there's anyone else involved, or even that Skaggs took his own life. But a former Bay Bears pitcher we're talking about here, I think he was drafted into the league by the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the two teams he spent time with, I think he was drafted by the Diamondbacks and then was traded to the LA Angels. So the Mobile Bay Bears have been a farm team for both of those. And I think it's while Skaggs was a young guy, this was probably 2011, 2012, played quite a few games for the Mobile Bay Bears. Had just pitched on Saturday, was getting ready to pitch in a few days against the Texas Rangers. And tonight, the LA Angels and Texas Rangers call that game off. 27-year-old Tyler Skaggs passes away in Texas. So some sad news today from the world of Major League Baseball. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk some more about NBA free agency. Also coming up later this hour on Sports Night, talking with Auburn Donaldson from the American Softball Association. Good 3 weeks into the season now. I think 4 weeks remaining in the schedule before that big championship game, but also the All-Star game coming up on the 13th of this month. So we'll get Auburn to kind of recap where we are in the ASBA season and tell us some more about the upcoming ASBA All-Star game in 2 weeks. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty and the intern, Juwan Davis. We're going to get him involved when we get back.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, Juwan Davis in here on a Monday night. Not long to go. 2 months. We'll be talking all football all the time. It's the best time of year.
No doubt.
Right now it's hot, muggy. Storms rolling through all the time, and only baseball and World Cup soccer on TV, which I can't hate. I love baseball. Maybe not as much as the other three major sports, but I do like me some baseball. Like me some softball, too. And coming up in just about 10 minutes, we'll talk with Auburn Donaldson from the American Softball Association. But right now, in this first half hour, it's all about the NBA free agency. By the way, the NHL also opened free agency yesterday. Don't hear people talking much about the NHL, but I did want you to know they are also they are also signing players to much lesser contracts than we're seeing in the NBA right now. But continuing this conversation with the Brooklyn Nets and just the amazing job they did to bring in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and even DeAndre Jordan, who I think might already be a little over the hill. But I'll get into that here where I tell you that, Corey, Juwan, I do not think that the Brooklyn Nets are going to be very good by the time Kevin Durant gets back out there on the court. I just, they don't seem like title contenders to me here in a couple years. First off, Durant, pretty scary injury that he had at the very, very end of the season. Game 5 of the finals when he goes down with that torn Achilles, the same exact injury that we saw our hometown guy here, DeMarcus Cousins, suffer while he was with the New Orleans Pelicans. And it took him, man, when did he come back for the Warriors? It wasn't until the very last month of the regular season, right?
364 days DeMarcus Cousins missed on the basketball floor.
So you've got,
that's how long it took him to recover.
364 days. And that's in this day and age where recovery is faster than it's ever been. You know, I bet back in the day, players weren't ever able to come back from Achilles that are completely torn off the foot like we've seen with some of these guys. But you've got Durant, who just signed this 4-year deal with Brooklyn, going to miss the very first year of that deal. So by the time Durant finally gets back out there on the court for the Brooklyn Nets, we're looking at September, October 2020 at the very earliest. He's going to be 32 years old by the time that starts. You got DeAndre Jordan, who a longtime L.A. Clipper. He ended up in Dallas a couple years ago and then was part of that Kristaps Porzingis trade that sent him to the Knicks. He didn't play as much this last season while he was with New York, but still I'd say pretty good on defense and good at rebounding the ball. And he can win those rebounds and kick it out to Kyrie and Kevin Durant once they're all out there on the court together. But just think about that. There, by the time Kevin Durant gets back out there on the court, you have these four guys signed to big deals. You're going to have Kevin Durant, who's 32 years old, DeAndre Jordan, who's 32 years old, and a whole lot of miles on both of those guys. And then you've got 29-year-old Kyrie Irving by the time they take the court next year. I don't see, a lot of people think that we should go ahead and crown them 2021 champions or at least national finals contenders. I'm seeing an old team, and it's going to take Kevin Durant a little bit longer to get back to being a healthy player. What are you seeing? Do you guys think that these Brooklyn Nets will contend right out of the gate once Kevin Durant comes back next season?
I think the biggest thing is, to answer your question, no. I think that, you know, on paper it looks great, what you originally signed. I mean, but again, you have to understand that KD suffered a tremendous injury that I don't think it will end his career, but it's going to slow him down a little bit. He won't be at peak performance like he once was. So with that being said, Dalton, do I think that Brooklyn immediately will win the East? I still don't see that happening because KD is going to sit for a majority of the season. What do you think, Juwan?
One thing I like about the Nets is that they did get to keep the a lot of players from their young core. They still have Spence and Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert and Caruso. So I feel like even if they can't contribute to them on the court, I think they'll still be good enough to maybe be trade bait to maybe pick up more veteran role players that can have a more solidified role in the team. But I think it really depends on how Kyrie, how he performs, because he's back to really his Cleveland days when KD come back, like taking a secondary role scoring-wise. And I think that's better for him. I don't really like Kyrie as the number one player for a team. I think he's more of a secondary scoring player that can just get the big shots and just score for you, and not more of a creator as, like, a true point guard would be.
Yeah, we know that Kyrie's still able to get out there and get it done on the offensive side of the court, but when it comes to that leadership role, a lot left to be desired when it comes to Kyrie Irving. A team that I absolutely love what they've done over the last day and a half. I guess it's only been a day and 3 hours since free agency opened, but the New Orleans Pelicans have just taken what they received from the Anthony Davis trade, sending him out to the Los Angeles Lakers, and I was really worried that David Griffin would find some kind of way to screw this up, because as much as people talk about David Griffin as like he's the next, you know, he's some god that can just touch these players and put them on the team and all of a sudden he's got championship teams, outside of bringing LeBron James back to Cleveland for his second go-around and then finally winning their first title, David Griffin, you can't really point to very many moves that he's done where you say, hey, this guy has really turned this team from nobody into a contender. So I was really worried once they got that full return for Anthony Davis that he would screw up a good thing they have going with Zion Williamson and Drew Holiday and being able to build around them. But yesterday, some big moves from the New Orleans Pelicans. They added veteran sharpshooter J.J. Redick, who was a free agent coming off the his season with the Philadelphia 76ers. And then maybe the more important move, although not as many people know about him as they do J.J. Redick, but Derek Favors coming from the Utah Jazz. How big big of a deal do you think it is to have another big guy right there next to Zion? Derek Favors cleaning up the boards and getting some offense done around the rim.
Without question, that's huge for the Pelicans. Again, we mentioned off the air, the Pelicans, from a depth standpoint, just needed to solidify that post position. And with Julius Randle leaving the franchise, you needed somebody else to solidify that block position. So I think that you're right, Dalton. The Pelicans are definitely heading in the right direction from the draft, from free agency, from what they're going to acquire in the 2020 draft coming up. Zion Williamson, again, being the cornerstone of your franchise. Again, only being 18, going to be 19 years old when it's over with. I just think that with surrounding himself with guys who are unselfish, mm-hmm. who are young and hungry. I already love Alvin Gentry, who's their head coach, and I know he can coach up some talent. So I'm excited about the Pelicans' direction.
Yeah, and so much of their ceiling depends on how good Zion Williamson really ends up being, because for them to be considered, you know, alongside the L.A. Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, even though I guess you can't really put the Lakers there yet, but I am, because LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I mean, they are far and away the top contender right now for next year's NBA Finals. But with Zion Williamson, even if he turns out being just a top 25 guy in the NBA, which I think a lot of people would expect of him, the way they're building this team, I mean, just look at the starting lineup. If New Orleans took the court today, you got Lonzo Ball at point guard, Drew Holiday there at the number two, Brandon Ingram would probably start right now at small forward, Zion there at the number four spot, and now Derek Favors protecting the rim down there at center. J.J. Redick probably would come off the bench, which is what he's so good at. Coming off the bench as that sixth mm-hmm. man and knocking down, 17, 23 points a game when you need him to. And then you got the draft picks that they got in the first round this year that aren't named Zion. Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Josh Hart, who they acquired in that L.A. Lakers trade. So all kinds of depth right now for New Orleans. And if Zion ends up being the guy that they think he is, if he's able to become a top 10 guy here in the next few years, we're looking at a window for a championship in New Orleans. As long as Zion stays around, a 10 or 15-year championship window, if he ends up being as good as everybody thinks he could be.
I would love to see, again, you look at Toronto, the small market franchise, having an opportunity to turn the league upside down. You look at the powerhouses, the big money markets. You still have LeBron and AD. The Lakers cleared that cap space to sign a third free agent, a big-name free agent. Has not been done yet. You mentioned about Kawhi being still out there undone. Boogie Cousins, don't know where he's going to go yet. So there's still some big names in free agency that are still out there yet to be signed, and hopefully this time next week we'll know where Kawhi is going, and I think that'll dictate where Boogie Cousins goes. I hate to see it for Boogie Cousins, because he's losing money at the end of the day, all because of what happened to his Achilles. He signed a small contract, I say small, a $5 million contract with the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. You look to re-sign somewhere else. Do you do it for a one-year deal, have a good year wherever you go, showing that you're worth that max money once again and can play into your 40s? But, you know, anything can happen.
You hear any whispers on the street, know where DeMarcus might be going?
I don't. Again, the only thing that I'm hearing is it really depends on where Kawhi winds up going. If Kawhi does not go to the Lakers, I think DeMarcus may become a Los Angeles Laker. If Kawhi does not decide to go to the Clippers, I could see where DeMarcus could fit in with the Clippers. So to me, either way it goes, I think he's going to remain on the West Coast.
Interesting. So you're not calling a return to the New Orleans Pelicans for Boogie Cousins?
Or Sacramento. I mean, I that would be interesting too, but why would you want to go? He loves the community of Sacramento, but to me, that franchise is trying to do some things with the players that they currently have. Fox is an outstanding player, but I'm just not sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
In my opinion, I think the best fit for him would be might as well become a Los Angeles Laker, because mm-hmm. I feel like if he goes there, he doesn't have to take max money, and him being there, they can maybe get pick up young veteran with more veterans like Rajon Rondo. They might can get just anybody, like any vets, for real, because I think that he'll probably sign maybe a $10 million contract, mm-hmm. maybe, or maybe even less than that. And, like, that can just lead to more depth
Yeah,
and that's what they need.
Well, we're all rooting for Boogie Cousins, at least here in his hometown of Mobile. And if he does sign with the Lakers here soon, he will be the fourth player on their roster, because I think they only have three on the roster right now with LeBron, AD, and Kuzma down there in Los Angeles. When we get back, talking with Auburn Donaldson from the American Softball Association. They're a few weeks in now to their their amazing second season of ASBA softball down here in Mobile. We're going to get a recap from him of how these first few weeks of the season have gone. Also, they've got an all-star game coming up on the 13th, and Auburn's going to let us know all about that. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night on this Monday night. I've been telling you guys about the American Softball Association, top women's professional softball league in the entire United States. It's located right here in our very own backyard. And now, a good friend of the program on to talk with us again about the ASBA, Auburn Donaldson, co-founder of the American Softball Association. Auburn, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, no, thank you, Dalton. This has been a great summer so far with the American Association, Softball Association, back here in Mobile, Alabama, and we're 12 games in, and it is definitely nothing short of exciting in every ball game. There's probably been over 50 home runs in the 12 games that we've played.
Wow. Yeah, I noticed that, doing the recap every morning and looking at the stats. I mean, it's almost been like the MLB this year with how many home runs and big shots are flying out of Pat Hicks' softball field down there in Satsuma. And you guys, tonight's a rare night off for the ASBA, pretty much playing a doubleheader every single night through the summer. But one of those doubleheaders earlier this year, you guys had the opportunity to take the field, the Jaguar field, at the University of South Alabama. I know that day I was a little worried that the rain would come in, and it was rainy that day, but you were able to get the games off. How was that, playing at the University of South Alabama field? That had to be really cool.
Playing at the University of South Alabama was an amazing event. It was a great turnout. We've made it very accessible for the locals in Mobile, Alabama, centrally located in Mobile, to come check out what we are doing in terms of building a new professional softball league. And the facilities there at the University of South Alabama are by far some of the best in the country. And, with these professional softball players, it's only right that they play at somewhere such as a South Alabama softball facility, because the facilities are top-notch. They are what these girls should be playing on day in and day out.
Yeah, and these women that are in the ASBA, I mean, top of the class. They were the best players in college and now coming down to play in Mobile every single summer. We've been talking a lot about the NBA free agency tonight on Sports Night, of course, since it's so in the news the last couple days. But the Golden State Warriors, if I had to draw their corollary right now to the ASBA, Mobile USA has been nothing short of dominant this year, and I was looking at the beginning of the season to see how long they could keep winning and stay undefeated, and they met their own Toronto Raptors about a week and a half into the year when the E1 Pro Ballers came to town and put a stomping on Mobile USA, and that's kind of where the standings currently sit, with Mobile USA 10-2, first place in the league. Then you got your E1 Pro Ballers Performance Lab in the field. But Mobile USA, I mean, you guys have assembled a team of superstars there.
Yeah, Mobile was the one team that had more returners from the 2018 team. They had four awesome returners that played in that 2018 season. So they have a lot of veteran leadership from that core group of girls. And so for the new players that came on board, there was already a culture and chemistry in place for that roster, and you could tell that as soon as the girls got between the lines, they figured out that team chemistry really, really quick and was able to build on that throughout the first 12 games of the season. And I tell you, through those 12 games, I think Mobile USA alone has over 35 to 40 home runs.
Golly.
So, they're fun to watch, to say the least.
A player that's very fun to watch, and she's just leading in many offensive categories, Savannah Horvath. Talk to us a little bit about the spectacular performance that she's put in from a batting average standpoint as well as runs scored.
Yeah, Savannah, she's definitely one of the forefront runners for being the league MVP for 2019, for sure. She played her college years out at Cal State Northridge, and lives in the off season. She's in Arizona, so you know we're really excited that Savannah came back. She was one of the girls that played in that 2018 season, and you know, you could just tell that, you know, she got stronger when she came back here, because it was, you know, the numbers she put up last year were gaudy, but you know, the numbers she's putting up this year are on pace to shatter what she did in the 2018 season. And you know, the biggest thing about these Savannah, and not only her but every other player in the ASBA, is that, you know, they're such great leaders and ambassadors, not just between the lines but also outside of the lines.
You know, Auburn, honestly, I think when you're doing sports, you're supposed to, for the most part, remain neutral. But Savannah Horvath, since we talked to her here on Sports Night at the beginning of the season, right before the draft in early June, since then she's become my favorite player. So I'm all Team Horvath all the way, which would be a good time now to go vote for her for the All-Star game you got coming up. That'll be played in Satsuma next Saturday, July 13th. Tell me what's going on here. You're allowing people to vote on ASBASoftball.com, vote for who they want to see in the All-Star game?
Yes. So it works a lot like the NBA All-Star game. So you can go online, vote for your favorite players, and basically each position that has the most votes will be selected to play in that All-Star game, which, you know, we just had wind today that we may possibly be working on something to play that game over at South Alabama. So, you know, be ready for a All-Star event on an All-Star stage if we can make that happen.
Very, very cool. And after the All-Star game, I'm sure for all the women out there in the ASBA, it's going to be all business from there on out. You got the playoffs starting July 26th with a wild card kind of play-in game, and then that all leads up to the championship on July 30th. So, Auburn, after all these fun games and the All-Star game coming up in a couple weeks, it'll be all business.
No, definitely. In this league, it's a six-week professional softball league, and I tell you, every game matters. And I think any player here in the league would be able to tell you that. And you know, if they don't realize that, then you know, right here at this halfway mark, you're going to have some players realize that, wow, we're already three quarters of the way through the season. And for that, you know, we're really thankful to be back and really excited to be building here in the community.
Well, I want to tell you that you and your team doing a fantastic job online, on the website, social media, keeping it updated with content and video from the games as they happen. You guys are doing great online. If somebody wants to follow you on Twitter, Facebook, follow the league, or check out tickets and stuff on the website, tell them where all they should go online.
Yeah, so you can find all of our league content. We stay coming out with content as much as we can, as often as we can. Those can be found on all the social medias at ASBA Softball, and also online at ASBASoftball.com. Follow us for all the best content in softball, and I promise if you guys come out to a game, you will not be disappointed in the amount of amazingly talented athletes that are here in the community.
Well, great job with what you're doing, Auburn, and tomorrow night, a great chance to check out one of those other doubleheaders. This will be there in Satsuma. You got the Performance Lab playing the field at 5 p.m., and then a bit of a revenge game for Mobile USA taking on the E1 Pro Ballers tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And like Auburn said, you can find out more information on that, ASBASoftball.com. Auburn, we really appreciate you coming on with us tonight on Sports Night, and looking forward to talking to you again.
Likewise. Thank you, Dalton. Thank you, Corey. Y'all have a great night. Look forward to speaking with you guys soon.
Do the same. All right.
It's a very, very cool league we got going down here in Mobile, the ASBA American Softball Association, and Auburn doing great things with them. I'm glad to see their season is doing so well.
It's going to be interesting to see who gets selected for that All-Star game. Again, a wonderful series of events that they put on, family-friendly. Go out and catch you a nice hot dog. Watch some great, great professional women's softball right here in our own backyard.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the NBA free agency tonight, and one question we haven't gone in-depth in is where should Kawhi Leonard sign? Not often you talk about the reigning NBA Finals MVP being a free agent and possibly leaving to go somewhere else. When we get back on the other side, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And also the college game win totals for this upcoming college football season. A lot of the sports book over the last week and a half put out the over and under for every single team in the NCAA. South Alabama, I don't know if you'll be surprised at where their over-under was or not, but I'm going to tell you what the odds makers think of the South Alabama Jaguars when we get back, and we'll also, maybe if we have time, break down the Alabama and Auburn win totals. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5, and we'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Welcome back. Segment 4 of Sports Night here on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Erwig. You can follow me on Twitter at Dalton Erwig, O-R-W-I-G. You can find my man Corey LaBounty
at C-A LaBounty.
And we've got the intern in tonight. 2 weeks in a row, Juwan Davis joining us here on Sports Night. You don't have to, but if you want to give out your Twitter account, or do you even Twitter? That's probably not even cool anymore.
As it may surprise you, I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. You're too cool for Twitter. I understand. You don't have to rub it in my face. I understand completely. Another guy, way too cool for Twitter, Kawhi Leonard. We have not talked about yet, as we basically have spent this hour talking about NBA free agency and the mass chaos that began yesterday at about 4 p.m. when they opened the gates. And Kawhi Leonard, it's not often or ever. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back through the history books, but to have an NBA Finals MVP, a guy highly regarded as the best, maybe top three if to some people, but the best player in the NBA right now, trying to decide where he is going to play next season after winning a title with the Toronto Raptors. And the longer this stretches out, the longer this ordeal goes on, it's looking more and more like Kawhi Leonard will not be rejoining the Toronto Raptors next year, and instead will be possibly heading to L.A. Now, which team he goes to in L.A., the Lakers or the Clippers? I think right now they're both about even when it comes to the odds of landing Kawhi Leonard. But Corey, Juwan, what do you guys think? Where do you think Kawhi will sign? And I think he's going to sign with the Lakers, and I'll tell you why. But first, I got to figure out where you think he's going to sign.
All right, so he's a world champion with the Toronto Raptors. He's a world champion with the San Antonio Spurs. He's the MVP of the NBA Finals. Where does he wind up going? I'm going to say he's going to stay in Toronto.
Ooh.
I'm going to go on the Toronto. I probably doesn't like the cold weather, but the max deal that they're able to give him, I don't think he wants to play that third wheel. So I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say Toronto.
All right. Juwan, you got any hot takes? Where do you think he's going to go?
I think he might actually go with the Clippers. I feel like
okay.
With the role players he has around him, with Lou Williams, and he still has Danilo Gallinari, I think, and Shai Alexander. I think he might with another move, move them up in the rankings in the Western Conference.
Now, the Clippers, that's a team that a lot of people thought for a long time that Kawhi Leonard would be going to. Of course, he grew up in L.A., and a lot of people say that's the reason he wants to go back to the Lakers. But this is a guy, a lot like Kevin Durant and a lot like Kyrie Irving, your average Joe out there that's trying to figure out what they want to do and try to put themselves in their size, whatever shoe Kawhi Leonard walks around in, probably a size 17. It's impossible because Kawhi Leonard, he doesn't let you know much about himself. He's a very quiet person. He's not as outspoken as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but just the same, it's impossible to tell what he wants out of life. And I think what we've found out over the last couple of weeks is that he's a lot more open to the idea of joining a super team, like we saw Kevin Durant do when he joined the Golden State Warriors. And if he can join that super team in Los Angeles, I mean, we're looking at a big three, the likes of which we've never seen in the NBA. If Kawhi Leonard signs with the LA Lakers and plays alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and then you got the young up-and-comer Kyle Kuzma, everybody on the same page, they would deservedly be the heavy favorite for the NBA title next season if he does sign there. And I think so much of it has to do with Kawhi Leonard's age. He's about the exact same age as me. He might have been born 2-3 months before I was born. Anthony Davis, I think, is about a year younger than me. But LeBron James first stepped foot on an NBA court when I was 12 years old. That means that Kawhi Leonard was 12 years old and Anthony Davis was 11 years old. And so they have been watching LeBron James basically their entire careers, through their childhoods, his entire career. That's like somebody being born in 1975 that watches Michael Jordan. I mean, he is the man. And to have an opportunity to play on the same court as a LeBron James who is admittedly in the twilight of his career, but the chance to win titles in L.A., his hometown, and with the guy that he probably idolized growing up, I think that's going to be a little too strong for Kawhi Leonard to turn down.
He's making $5 million a year off of his shoe deal alone with New Balance. That's a shoe size 14, by the way, Dalton.
hey, he's one above me then.
He's 14. So when I'm looking at, again, where I think he's going to go, would he be in a situation right now to where he would benefit going to the Lakers? He's not that type of guy that I think likes that glitz and glamour.
Yeah, I thought he was a guy that kind of wanted to strike out on his own trail and do things himself. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see, and they're saying he's going to kind of draw it out over this week. And why not? You're the most coveted guy in the game. Take your time and figure out where you truly want to be. We ended up evenly split. I think he's going to head to the Lakers. You think he's going to head back to Toronto. And Juwan over there thinks he's going to go to the LA Clippers. So hopefully we find out before next Monday night. We can discuss whichever team Kawhi Leonard will be on and how they're just going to run through the NBA. So coming up, we got college football in just over 2 months. We'll be watching college football. And over the last week and a half, lots of the sports books out in Nevada and a lot of the offshore sports books finally started putting some numbers on the over-unders for win totals for teams this year. For every single team in the NCAA, at least the Power Five and some of the other smaller conferences, they put out win totals. And I guess I wasn't surprised when I saw that South Alabama is tied for the lowest amount of expected wins in the entire country. Right now they have the
Wait a minute, Dalton. Say that one more time.
They have the South Alabama Jaguars winning 2.5 games, over-under of 2.5. That is tied for the lowest of the 134, 138 teams.
Division I schools
in the entire country. South Alabama at 2.5 wins, right around where they were going into Steve Campbell's first year with the team. But here we are entering year two with Steve Campbell. They still have him at 2.5. You know, they've got to win more than three games, right? I'm banking on, and I mean it literally at this point, I'm banking on South Alabama winning at least three games this season.
They'll win over. They'll be the over, okay, without question.
Yeah, you start with at Nebraska. Okay, that's probably a loss there. Jackson State at home, the last home opener at Ladd Peoples Stadium, they ought to win that one. Memphis at home, okay, Tigers ought to win that game. Then you got at UAB. UAB will probably win that one. ULM, Georgia Southern, at Troy. I mean, they're good for one win at Troy or versus Troy at home every year. They just bring it during those games. Appalachian State, Texas State, yeah, they've got to get it done. I'm seeing more than 2.5 wins for South Alabama this year.
I think over 2.5 as well, Dalton.
All right, everybody, enjoy the Women's World Cup, the NBA free agency going on, and we'll be back Monday night right here, Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.